This is the Jack Del Rio Show.
Jack Del Rio Show.
On the Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network. The Jack Del Rio Show is sponsored in part by Cary Limousine, Community First Credit Union, Ticket Exchange, Wachovia, Sonny's Barbecue, and by Everbank. Now, to get things started, here's the voice of the Jaguars,
the voice,
Brian Sexton.
Good evening and welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show. Tuesday evening following the bye week, getting ready for the Houston Texans. I'm Brian Sexton, joined by head coach Jack Del Rio. And over the course of the next hour, we'll take your calls. 800-355-NFL1, 800-355-6351. If you're listening on our flagship station, WOKV, simply 355-NFL1 to weigh in with the thought on the coach. If you happen to be a Twitter person and you're out with your phone and just don't feel like talking, at Jags Voice, and we'll make sure we get those questions through to the coach. Jags 4-4, Texans 4-4, sets up for a big game for two teams, just a game back of the division lead in the AFC South. This quick note, and then we start with the show, folks. Visit Sports Mania for your chance to win the ultimate Jaguars game day experience, which is a limousine ride, club seats, and Sky Lounge tailgate party passes for the Jaguars-Texans game. You can register for free at your closest Sports Mania right here in Jacksonville. And again, 355-NFL1. If you'd like to weigh in with some thoughts on the Jaguars, get ready to bring in the head coach here. And you saw one heck of a football game on Saturday, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did. A lot of talent on the field.
You were at LSU and saw Alabama.
I did.
Who's got more talent?
They're both loaded. I don't know. You'd have to ask a scout. But both
LSU
haven't.
Won, so...
Yeah, they had the better day, and it was great. You know, I was there with my son,
and
both of my daughters, or two of my three daughters, were actually there as well. So it was.
Did both of your older daughters go to LSU?
Yes.
Okay.
One's there now, right. and one graduated there. But anyway, it wasn't about that so much. It's just
sure.
You know, taking in a little football down there, seeing my daughter over the weekend, and then took in a little football. It was a nice game, and obviously being there supporting the Tigers, it was.
Spend any time with the boys on Sunday afternoon, or did you turn it off and just kind of monitor scores?
No, I traveled back.
Okay.
Had to be back at work, so I did see some of it once I got back Sunday, late afternoon, early evening.
All right, so the Texans roll in this week, coming off of a couple of losses. You put all that aside because you've got two teams tied for second place in the AFC South in an ultra-competitive division. Things worked out. Indianapolis got beat. Texans got beat, and you've got two teams at 5-3 and two teams at 4-4 at the midway point of the season. I mean, I think as you look at it, the division title's still right there sitting for you. It's wide open.
Well, I mean, again, we're there now. All four teams in the division have played eight games. You know, we're sitting here, you know, all within one game of each other. So you know, and there's a lot of divisional play left. So the second half of the season will be hugely important, and it begins here at home with our last divisional game here at home, and against the Texans on Sunday, and it'll be a huge game from that standpoint, and then just the fact that it's next, it's coming out of the bye, and so all those factors kind of add up for a big moment on Sunday for us.
5 days rest, Coach. How big is 5 days rest, or how much value do you place on it midway through the season? Your bye week really fell at a good point for you.
Well, we just want to maximize that. I mean, it's when our time was up. You don't really control over you know when you get that bye week. So you make the most of it. Do all you can as a football team to heal where you need to. Look at the things that you did well. Build on those things. The things you didn't do so well. Make sure you minimize your ability to do that or lack of ability to do it better. And then get ready to go for the second half.
From a physical perspective, you know, your days as a player, middle of the season, what is 5 days in a row off do for a player in his body? Can you get that much done, or is it not really that much?
No, it's great. I mean, in Dallas, you know, we had this. I played for the Cowboys, and every year we had that huge advantage after Thanksgiving. You know, you'd play that game, and then you would get the opportunity to. You know, to rest 3-4 days prior to the next ball game that the other team wasn't getting, I thought it was a big advantage.
Let's grab a quick call here before we take our first break of the evening, and we've got Greg who joins us from the west side of town. Greg, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Hey, Coach, I appreciate you taking the 9 hours of your night to talk to us and taking our calls.
You bet.
I got a question for you. I've talked to you quite a few times. I just historically, the Jaguars have got a have in the past have seemed to had an issue on the bye week where we seem to come off the bye week usually a little sluggish, or we have a tough time getting the momentum going again. And considering the fact we have such a great momentum coming out of Dallas, I'm curious, how do you get the momentum going again? Because we were on a really big high coming out of Dallas, and I think we need to get that energy rolling again to be really effective and hyped up for the upcoming schedule, which is going to be tough. So, and I look forward to the season, man. I think we're in the thick of it, and I believe in this team and think we can make first place this year. So,
appreciate
it. Taking my call, Coach.
You bet, Greg. Thanks for calling in tonight. Appreciate it very much. We do it just by doing exactly what you're talking about. Come in with great energy, on our preparation, make sure that that's heightened, and then get back to work. And so that's what got us, into that situation where we played well in Dallas. We need to stay the course and do exactly that. I think, last weekend, the teams that came off their bye were 6-0. So we certainly love to keep that trend going. It can be an opportunity to heal up some, which is huge. And then, sharpen up some things that you need to do better. And so we've had a little bit of an opportunity to do both of those things. But, really, the bye's over. Now we're into game week. And here we are. It's Tuesday. I'm doing this radio show like I do every Tuesday. And the coaches are busy game planning. I'll go back and join them. We'll get on with our routine. And, tomorrow our Wednesday practice begins and so on. So we're well into our work week now. And the bye week is over.
Greg, appreciate the phone call. Folks, don't forget to register for the November 20th McKenzie's Run, a 5K and 1 mile run and walk through downtown with a big finish on the Everbank Field 50-yard line. Find out more about this fun family event at caregivegrow.org or at firstplacesports.com. And it's all brought to you by the Jaguars, the Players' Championship, Everbank, and LPS. More to come on the Jack Del Rio Show after this on the Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Test drive the new 2011 Ford Super Duty, the new 2011 Ford Mustang, or the all-new Ford Fiesta when you visit your local Southern Ford dealer. Brian Sexton back with the head coach, Jack Del Rio. 4-4 Jaguars head to the Houston Texans, or I should say head into a showdown with the Texans. First home game in, 28 days. Two home games and then two away games. So it'll be two in about the span of 7 weeks. So get on out there, folks. About 2,000 tickets remain to get this game on TV. Not that a radio guy cares, but I do. 633-2000, Jaguars.com. Oh, yeah. It's Military Appreciation Day.
Yeah.
And if you haven't been in the stadium when the B-2 bomber flies over, you'll want to be here just to see the start of the game, let alone what expects to be a really good game. When you look at the Texans, they've always had the downfield passing attack. What they've lacked is a power running game, which would set up play action. It would seem like with Arian Foster, they've got the whole package on offense this year.
Yeah, they've got it rolling right now. I mean, I believe he's number one in the league running the ball.
854 yards
and
5 100-yard games, 9
about
touchdowns,
5.5 a clip.
Yeah.
And then, Johnson, big, strong Andre Johnson. We've talked about him many times before, and he's right there at the top of the league and everything he's doing, 14.8 yards per reception. So, I mean,
he's doing it on a bum ankle.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to imagine him being any stronger than he's playing on tape right now. But, yeah, he's been working through an ankle, but they're very talented. And so, obviously, when they get the running game going like that, along with the passing that they've been good for, or good at for a number of years now, that makes them very difficult to stop.
Foster last week went against the Chargers, who were the best defense in football, statistically speaking. He ran for 127 and two scores. He had 70 yards receiving. I mean, it seemed like they leaned on him. Is he their guy? I mean, are they a run-first team all of a sudden to make it easier on the passing attack, or are they balanced and do both things?
Well, they do them both, but that started in week one.
Yeah.
I mean, they just killed
the 231 against
the Colts. They killed the Colts in week one, and they haven't slowed down. I mean, he's a legitimate back that's emerged and come out of nowhere. It's a great story. I mean, comes undrafted. We actually had him at the Senior Bowl.
He was on that team?
Yeah,
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he got a hamstring in our week's preparation. But, anyway, goes undrafted. Got a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. He's a big guy. He's making that one cut and getting downhill right now and running with authority. And now add that into Andre Johnson and what all they've been doing with Schaub and Owen Daniels and all that, and all of a sudden you've got a lethal offense.
355-NFL-1. Let's grab a couple phone calls here. 355-6351. Actually, we're not quite ready for some phone calls. What we are? All right, here we go. Let's grab John, who joins us from the West Side. John, welcome to the show. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good. How you doing tonight? How you doing, Coach?
Hey, John, how are you tonight?
Not too bad. Glad to finally get a chance to talk to you. Hey, I was here last weekend. I watched the Packer-Dallas game, and I saw Monday that Green Bay had cut their veteran corner, Al Harris. And I know that he's coming back from an injury and everything, similar to what Aaron Kampman has. I know you guys have been pleased with what Kampman's done. What would be the possibility of bringing Al Harris in for a workout to possibly give you guys some help in that secondary back there?
Well, I appreciate you, you know, scanning the wire for us, John. I know Gene Smith and his staff are doing the same thing, and, you know, I trust them to kind of work that side of things. You know, for us, we're, as coaches, we're busy preparing for the Texans. But I know Gene will look at that and the scouts and all the work that needs to go into to determine whether or not that's a good fit, and I know we'll explore any and all options. And so I'll leave that up to him. But appreciate the call and appreciate the interest.
You know, I don't know how good you feel about it because the secondary's numbers haven't been really that good. But when you look at the way that they played against Dallas, especially with three interceptions, two from Derek and one from Rasheen, I would think that you know, heading into a ball game, you feel like maybe Rasheen's back and Derek is ready to go.
Well, we're making strides. We're definitely improved. And we gave up yardage in garbage time.
Yeah.
But we played well against the Cowboys when it mattered.
From a coverage standpoint.
Sure. And took control of the game. And then, you know, which has been the case for us this year, you know, even in our victories, you know, the opening game against the Broncos, we give them garbage yards at the end. You know, you can't give up garbage yards and then statistically do well.
Right.
But what's most important for us is winning games and improving as a pass defense. That's something we have to do. And I believe we are making steps in that direction.
How about the safeties? I mean, they would figure to be the fulcrum on a game like this because, man, they're going to have to be at the line of scrimmage some to help contain the running game, and yet they've also got to be able to be aware and get back and help with play action.
That's right.
And you got two young guys that you put in a few weeks ago. Thoughts on them and how they have to prepare for Sunday?
Well, they got to prepare like they do every week. But I think the good news is I think they are improving, and I think that, you know, what's encouraging is the fact that some of the mistakes that were made in their first exposure, you know, have become, you know, less and less of an issue. And so when you're not making the same mistakes, then you have a chance to really improve. And with the experience that you're getting, you know, get a little bit of a comfort zone. I don't know if it's comfort, but confidence in what you're doing, how you're doing it. Start playing a little faster, communicating a little louder because you're sure of what you're doing and what the corners need to do and how the linebackers fit in and all those things. And then it kind of ties together. And now all of a sudden the pass rush has been a half step away, starts looking a little bit better because the coverage is just a little tighter. And that's what we're looking for.
Right.
Just that little bit throughout our defense, helping out in all three levels to help our football team win games.
Before we take a break, one quick thought on Rasheen and the interception he made in Dallas. And, boy, he stepped in front of that ball. That looked like the old Rasheen, you know, the guy that we've been used to, you know, cutting the route and making great plays on the ball.
Yeah, that was a great play for us, and big moment, you know, to go ahead and pinch that route off and then step in front. And he's got great hands. He's always been a great athlete, and would have liked to have seen him finish with a touchdown.
Yeah.
But we're talking about that's the next thing.
I was going
to
say
next
you
thing for us.
To see a couple more of those.
Well, we want to continue to get the turnovers, but the next thing for us is to score on defense, and we've emphasized that over this bye week. We've drilled it. We've shown film. We're doing all those things to emphasize it. We feel like things that we emphasize like that, we see improvement with, and that's one of them. We need to score those miscellaneous touchdowns. You know, whether it's a defensive score on a returned interception or fumble or some type of block punt, we need some type of miscellaneous touchdown.
All right, folks, we take another break by reminding season ticket holders that when you use your Jaguars rewards card and purchase 10 gallons of Gate gasoline, you'll get $2 in Jag Bucks back. For details, check out Jaguars.com. More to come with the Jaguars head coach, Jack Del Rio, after this quick pause on Jaguars Radio.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Bears Texans Sunday, 1 o'clock kickoff. Haven't had a 1 o'clock home game here since opening day against the Broncos, so a nice schedule. Jaguars 1 o'clock this week, 1 o'clock next week against the Cleveland Browns before they hit the road again. We'll start things off with the Sunday's Real Pit Barbecue tailgate show at 10 o'clock on News Talk Radio WOKV in Jacksonville. Grab the rest of the network with the Jaguars pregame show at noon, kickoff at 1, Veterans Day, B2 Bomber flyover should be fun, Aetna Big Halftime Show, Winn-Dixie postgame show, 7-4 Dealer Scoreboard Show. This is the Jack Del Rio Show, and you're certainly free to join us. Let's grab Joe over in Green Cove Springs. Hello, Joe. How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Coach, best of luck this week.
Thank you, Joe. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, I want to talk about the Texans. Usually, in the past, they try to exploit our linebackers and safeties with Owen Daniels, but I think he's hurt. And then we got to worry about Andre Johnson, but now we have to worry about Arian Foster, and I'd like to know how we're going to defend him. And secondly, since it's a military appreciation day, is there some chance we could break out the camo uniforms or something?
Dear God, no. Did you see Utah wearing that junk? I mean, I understand it was that they were trying to do military appreciation day, but they looked horrible.
They did. I didn't see it.
But you guys are you were in boots. I saw some photos today that were up on Twitter.
Yeah.
And what's that all about? They're T-shirts. Military appreciation T-shirts.
Yeah, there are those. They'll be out there this weekend. And that was, putting your boots on for the military, showing your support. That's what that effort was.
Now, that's cool. But you have to go find the tape of the Utah. And it was nice. They put strength and honor and commitment in place of the player's name.
All good stuff.
But they went from red, which was their color,
yeah,
to these black uniforms with this gray camo in the middle of it.
Just understand we're supporting the cause, man.
The strength, honor, commitment across the back was enough. But just
right.
My own particular opinion.
You're more of a purist. I understand.
You know, right. I mean,
well, Joe and I like the camo look, so you're going to have to get over
it. Good luck getting that through.
But anyway, Joe's right. I mean, they've got some weapons. I think and I think our players and coaches have always respected what the Texans have been about. We've seen this team building for a number of years, and Andre Johnson is probably the most talented wide receiver in the league. And so we've always, gotten ready and up to play these guys and understand that they're tough and they're a challenge. And we've always had battles, over the years. So this weekend will be no different. They come into our place. This is our last home divisional game. It makes it big. We're both sitting here at 4-4, and we certainly want to continue to win and continue to win within our division, and that's huge for us. And finding a way to slow down Andre Johnson, still have somebody up in the box to be able to tackle that big back and do the things we need to do, and then move the ball and score ourselves because – that's something we've got to do. It's a team you've got to not only possess it and move it, but you've got to score points to beat this football team.
You know, I was writing something earlier for a TV show, and I said the best big play threat in the game. And I had to back off that because DeSean Jackson, I think, has taken the title of big play threat because of his average yards of touchdowns is something like 51 yards. But the thing about Andre Johnson, he can go deep. He can run after the catch. He's big and physical. I mean, he can make the third and three catch against a big corner. I mean, I think he may be the most complete wide receiver in the game. Plus, he's got a great attitude and he's a great kid.
Yeah, plus he's
not a prima donna.
Plus, he's got humility.
Yeah.
Which you
don't see at that position very often.
It's rare at that position. But I remember going into Miami to evaluate him.
That was your first year in 2003.
Well, he was such a unique young man because he did, I mean, he was humble. I mean, and he sat back and he was almost quiet. It was like you had to pull things out of him. But, he's turned into a great player for him.
So. Sure is.
We'll be geared up. We'll be ready to get him slowed down, give him some attention. But obviously, it's a difficult proposition when they have a back running the way that Foster is.
How about the other guy on the other side? Kevin Walters has had some big games, made some big catches with Andre over on the other side.
Yeah,
and he in and himself. I mean, he doesn't get the attention that Johnson does, or even Owen Daniels. But you got to watch out for him.
Still a good football player. That's right.
Makes a lot of big plays. 355 NFL.
So we'll have our work cut out for us, Joe, and we won't be in camo uniforms. But I appreciate the call, and I'm with you on that. And Brian, obviously,
I just don't think the camo looks good. But strength, honor, commitment, honoring the military, I'm all for. Okay. Just don't. I just don't think. The
well,
camo
we're, thing we won't be. Because at least unless there are plans, that I'm not aware of.
No, but I like the boots. I saw a photo of you guys all wearing combat boots.
That was cool.
Out on the field, I don't know where those are going to show up, but I saw him on Twitter, so you might follow Jags Insider. You can get those. We'll leave it at that. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351, if you'd like to join us on the program. How about their offensive line? Dwayne Brown was gone the first four games for a violation of the league substance abuse policy, and they did okay. They started 3-1. Now he's back in the lineup. Their offensive line obviously is better with a big running back behind it, but this is not a team that's really drafted offensive linemen over the years. They've always kind of filled a hole here and there.
Well, a little bit they have. I mean, Winston Winston, the right tackle.
Eric Winston, they took a couple years ago.
From Miami. He was taken fairly high, I think second round maybe.
Yeah. And, I mean, if you look at their nine drafts, though, they've never been a team that built the offensive line through the draft, at least not with high picks.
Mm-hmm.
But Brown is their guy. I mean, he was a first-round pick a couple of years ago.
Correct. Their two tackles are.
Yeah.
And, no, they're playing well. I mean, obviously, if you're running the ball like that, you got to give the big guys up front some credit. You know, you don't do it by yourself as a running back.
Right.
So, you know, scheme-wise, they do a nice job with what they do, and the line does a nice job together, and that big back's making it all go.
355-NFL-1. Let's grab Peter in Orlando before we take our break here at the bottom of the hour. Peter, welcome to the program.
Hi, how you doing, Coach? How you doing?
Good. Hey, yeah. Peter. How are you tonight? Yeah. What's on your mind?
I'm a Titans fan, Coach. Sorry to disappoint you. But my question to you tonight is, now that we've got Randy Moss, how does that change your game plan compared to previous years? When we didn't really have a big-name wide receiver as we do right now.
Well, not this week it won't, Peter, but we do appreciate you calling the Jaguars. You know, you must be, I guess you're down there in Orlando, and you're not probably getting a whole lot of Tennessee feeds down there. But
no.
We'll get into Moss and Tennessee when it's appropriate down the road here in a few weeks. But, you know, this week we're going to take care of business within the division and get ready for these Texans. It'll be coming in, but we'll
have to worry about with Andre Johnson.
Yeah, we'll cross that bridge with Tennessee and Moss when we get to it. But appreciate you calling, Peter.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. More with Jack Del Rio after this on the Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Going right along here, Jack Del Rio Show continues, 355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. If you've got a thought for the coach, fire away. Another week, another round of questionable hits, Coach. When is this going to stop? When are we going to get to a point where there's some sanity? I don't know whether it's in the officiating or from the league office. I mean, when is it going to not be the story every week?
You're leading me down a very dangerous path right now.
I know, and
you know how I feel about this.
I know. You were reaching a point, though, where, and there was a column in the Philadelphia Inquirer this week that said, just point blank, hey, look, you know, player safety is obviously important, and I know it is to you as a coach and a former player, but at some point, I mean, if you step into a boxing ring, you're going to get hit in the head.
It is football.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we're still playing the game of football.
Right. Yeah. And that's all you have to say on that one.
Well, I think that's the most I can say, and then...
Yeah.
The other thing I would say is that I do think that there ought to be consideration given to the thought that Troy Polamalu put out there.
And I'm not sure I know exactly which
well,
one.
Well, in regards to how things are handled a league. I would love to see more people involved as well. So,
well let me give you the –
in case you're wondering.
Yeah, no, I know where you stand on it. It's pretty strong. I wish we had a little video camera here. We could stream this one out just to get your facial expressions. But from my perspective – just the common sense that I think is missing right now, and I'll use Trent Cole on fourth down in the fourth quarter against the Colts, where, and people have seen this video now, where he's rushing the passer, and he's got his hand up, and he's trying to get the ball, and Manning, you know, leans back to throw, and his hand just brushes just ever so gently against the back of the helmet. That's not striking the helmet. Okay, he touched it, but he wouldn't strike it. Sack strip, game should be over, call it a penalty. Then how about, and I think you even mentioned it with respect to Don Carey. You know, you're coming in to tackle, and maybe he was a little bit high on the deal, but if a guy leans in or leans back, or a defender can't control everything.
Right.
They can control their intent and whether they launch themselves, but they can't control everything.
I think they're somehow, somehow there's been a departure from the blatant, you know, Conrad Dobler.
Sharpen your screws.
You know, cheap, you know, he has admitted that he would go after people to do certain things to hurt other players.
Right.
And those types of things you always want to look to take out of the game. Some of the things that, you know, are going on now are not of that intent. And I know you, how do you judge intent? Well, you can.
Then
you can judge intent. That's really what we're doing here. And I just think that, you know, we're probably getting into a dangerous place to go.
We'll back out of it then.
If you like football, that's kind of part of what you like, is that aspect of it. And I think we just have to be careful.
Final thought on it then is, you served on the competition committee. You know that group of men's role in the future of the game. Will this be almost everything they talk about in the spring? I mean, this would seem to be a real big issue. You know, it's not a rules issue per se, although I guess you could call it a rules issue. Do you think that this is something the competition committee will spend an inordinate amount of time on?
Well, I think they typically bring up things of this nature, and then discuss it, and then there are rules. I think what we're getting into a little bit here is, you know, not just rules, but in some cases maybe interpretation.
Right.
And that's, again, I think that's a dangerous place to get into.
Folks, when you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart, 6 Jacksonville location. Stein Mart, more fashion, less price. Let's take this break. Come back. More with the head coach after this on Jaguars Radio.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
I'd like to send a shout out to the folks at Seabest Seafood. They, every Tuesday night, faithfully bring in a wide range of food. Salmon, shrimp, scallops. Tonight it's all here. You can sample everything that we sample on Tuesdays when you come to the stadium and go to the Pepsi Plaza on Sunday. So, big thanks to the folks at Seabest. If you're looking for a delicious meal for your family, stop by Winn-Dixie or I think even Walmart sells Seabest Seafood. Ready for some boat calls?
Boat calls?
I'm sorry, phone calls.
I thought you were talking seafood, and I thought maybe
maybe it came out.
Went out to sea on me.
Yeah, it's good.
Yes.
Scallops are pretty good.
Yes.
Pick a number. 2, 3, 4, what do you think?
52.
Two, seven. So that means 3, right? Yeah, okay, we'll go 3. Zach, no, sorry, Sam, on the south side. Sam, how are you tonight?
I'm wonderful, gentlemen. Thank you so much for taking my call. Coach, really appreciate what you're doing. Been at every home game and lived some good ones and felt some bad ones. How do you think we match up our offense against their defense, and will we see more of Sims Walker like we did against Dallas?
Okay, I appreciate the call, Sam, and thank you for your support. I know if you've been out there for all our home games, you've seen a couple real good ones, and I'd like to bring you another good one this weekend. Okay, Texans defense. You know, the major loss really for them is D'Amico Ryans out of the middle of their defense.
He's a great player, isn't he?
Good player for him, yeah. Yeah, good player and a leader for him. And so they took Brian Cushing out of Southern Cal last year, who was
just notice your body.
I threw in a Southern Cal.
Your body language there.
He was a Pro Bowl player last year for him, and they moved him into the middle. So now, you know, he's not been in the middle for a long time. He's a good football player that's now playing in the middle. So as far as how we match up against him, we've got a block, you know, 90 and 94, so that we can...
Oh, Mario Williams. Yeah, he's pretty good.
Mario's pretty good, and he's got, I think, 6-7 sacks now in the year, and we got to make sure we get them blocked so that we can look down the field and give Davis some time. But we'd like to get Maurice going. I think that's one of the keys in this game is, you know, which offense can get their running back going, and obviously which offense can protect their quarterback.
You know, every top pass rusher is difficult to block in his own right. Aaron Campman, because he just never stops coming, and Dwight Freeney, because he plays so low to the ground and is so explosive in his first two steps. What is it about Mario Williams that makes him so very difficult for offensive tackles to contain?
Well, guys that are that big are not supposed to be that athletic. So, I mean, it's, you know, he's got freakish size and strength and athletic ability. That's why he was the first player, you know, that went off the board, you know. And And so, yeah, no, he's a good football player. And then Antonio Smith on the other side, 94. I mean,
he's very good.
He's
player.
Doing a nice job, and he slides inside on sub downs and gives him some rush from the inside. He's doing a nice job for him as well.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Let's grab Jerry, who's in Mandarin this evening. Jerry, welcome to the program.
Hey, good evening, y'all. I'm Coach Del Rio. I appreciate you taking my phone call. My question for you is, and I'm grateful you're getting ready for the Texans. I'm a big Gator fan, and I've watched Greg Jones for many, many years over Florida State carry the rock. And I just wonder in third down and short yardages and fourth down and short right yardages why we're not using Greg to carry the ball back there.
All right. You said you're a Gator or a Seminole?
I'm a Gator fan, but I have a lot of respect for Greg Jones after watching him at Florida State carry the ball for many years.
Yeah, no question. Yeah, and he's a heck of a player for us. And, you know, Greg, over the years, you know, has really, he was a guy that at one time we looked for to be that kind of that halfback that could be almost like an all-stop.
Steelers game, 2005.
Yeah, I mean, you know, could go in and bang away and finish people late in the game and be that short yardage threat. I mean, now he has really settled into, you know, one of the better blocking fullbacks in the league, and that's his role. Now, every now and then we will hand him the ball, but in terms of making him the lead guy that's going to be carrying it, he's the lead guy that's going to be leading it so that the other guys can carry it. So, it, you know, if I had another Greg Jones, I'd put Greg Jones in front of Greg Jones and run it that way. But
yeah.
But he's the best fullback that we have, and we're going to keep him in that position. But I do appreciate the call.
Thanks, Jerry. One more, and let's make it Drew, who joins us from the West Side. Drew, welcome to the show.
Yeah, how you doing, Coach? I really appreciate the call. I really appreciate taking my call. But the question I had, Coach, is the team sometimes seem to have a Jekyll and Hyde complex. I don't understand, you know, I'm not a coach, but sometimes they play with a lot of intensity, and sometimes they play as though, okay, we just going to show up. But now, what do you think it's going to take for you guys to keep this intensity and make sure that we make it to the playoffs? That's my question.
Okay, appreciate the call there, Drew. So I guess I'd be curious to know, you know, when you watch, let's just say, the New England Patriots, and, you know, everybody knows they're a good football team, right? And
sure.
And so, did they not care yesterday or Sunday when Cleveland beat them? No, I don't think I'd say that about them,
no.
You know? And I wouldn't say that about our games ever. I think there are times when you play well and you get the win and you earn the win. And there are times when you as hard as you may be trying, you don't play as well and you don't get the win. And I think for us, what we're working so hard to do is to do exactly what we need to do to win more often and to win enough games to get into the playoffs and someday soon here, you know, bring a championship home. And that's what we're after. So, but to say like there's not a desire or that somehow we're just showing up, I find that kind of offensive and I don't think it's real and I don't think it's accurate.
Here's a great example. Forget the Patriots for a minute. How about the Buffalo Bills, who have not won? They went to overtime with a 6-2 Baltimore Ravens team. They cared that day. Very next week, they still hadn't won. They go to overtime against an excellent Kansas City team. Still care. Last week, they play the Chicago Bears, I mean, right to the very teeth of it. They just didn't make the plays at the end that
That's
it
right.
took.
It comes down to execution in this league. You know, there's not as big a difference between the very best and the very worst as there are in other sports and other, you know, divisions of football. You know, I mean, if you're talking about the college game, you know, there's a big disparity between the very best and the very worst. And you're talking about high school. You know, there's a huge disparity between the very best and the very worst. In the NFL, it's just not the case. And it comes down to a team that executes the best, and sometimes it may give off that appearance, but we've got a hard-working group of guys that are in it every day. And so I know that we have that much I know we have consistently.
All right, we need a break. We'll come back. More to come with head coach Jack Del Rio after this on the Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Rolling right along here, folks. When the Jaguars win, everyone wins at Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue. You'll get a free barbecue pork sandwich with your game day ticket stub on a Monday or Tuesday after the Jaguars win. You'll get that at all participating North Florida Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue restaurants. Jaguars, Texans, Sunday, 1 o'clock kickoff. Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue tailgate show for those of you in Jacksonville, 10 a.m. Eastern time. Followed by the Jaguars pregame show at 11, kickoff at 1. Aetna Big Halftime Show, Winn-Dixie Postgame Show, Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. So how was 2 days of practice last week? Anything in particular that you you focused on, or just everything in general? Wait, yeah, in general.
Yeah.
Anything in particular, everything in general? Yeah, those nights where you hear, you say things and you don't necessarily hear what
you're saying. That was a long time ago.
It does feel like a long time ago.
No, we worked on some of our trick plays.
Some of them?
Yeah.
Anyone in particular you want to spill the beans on?
Nope.
Didn't think so. I saw a trick play over the weekend in the highlights of the college game. I can't remember what it was now. I remember a lot of trick plays.
How about the one somebody sent me on YouTube, the junior high or something? No, it might even be peewee ball, where the guy, the center, handed the ball to the quarterback. And then they ran down.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that reminds me of the one that I saw. It was in the NFL. It was that play in the Browns-Patriots game. Did you see that one?
Oh, yeah.
They called a brownie? There's a big story about
everybody,
it. So it's now
everybody
going.
Ran sideways and
yeah.
Except the punter who ran right up the middle of the field.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting play.
Yeah.
That's what it's about when you have time.
Yeah. No, we show awareness tape every Friday.
Right.
And we grab some of those plays and different scenarios that come up to try and educate our team. And
just on formations, because you just never know when someone's going to just slam something in there on a Friday.
Yeah, so we try and stay on top of it best we can, but there's some good stuff going on out there. If you have any, send it to me.
Well, I don't think I have any, but I'm sure there are a lot of people out there listening who have a favorite play.
I don't need to sort through thousands of plays out there.
Joe, what's your email? Where should people send you a favorite play? Yeah.
You know, trick play.
How about one of the Twitter thingies?
Yeah, send it to Twitter, at Jags Voice. You got a favorite trick play? Describe it in 140,
it's hard.
140
it's
words.
It's harder
or less.
To do, though, on Twitter, isn't it?
Yeah, because you can't draw it out and scan it in, but
scan
try.
It. You can scan it and send it
try.
To
trick play. And we'll pick the best play, and you'll run it in a game at the end of the year. That'd be a good promotion.
Yeah,
you're not buying on
okay,
that
well, right. No, I mean, preseason game next year.
Right.
We get into that.
All right, we'll take our final break. Come back and wrap up the show with the coach after this on Jaguars Radio. All right, folks, back to wrap things up. And just another reminder now about McKenzie's Run, which is a 5K and 1 mile run and walk through downtown. It includes a Jumbotron finish on the field here at Everbank Field. That is on the 20th, November the 20th. You can register at caregivegrow.org, firstplacesports.com. All the proceeds go to the Mackenzie Noel Wilson Foundation. The Everbank folks, this is Blake Wilson, obviously, the president of Everbank, and they're great Jaguar sponsors. So we'd love to have all of you come join us at the stadium for the run. I'll be there emceeing the festivities and hope to see you support a fantastic cause. You're going to hear a lot more about the caregivegrow.org group and the foundation as they go forward. So the Mackenzie Noel Wilson Foundation Run, Mackenzie's Run. Register again, caregivegrow.org. Jaguars this week for all of you next. Well, I shouldn't say next. I should say tomorrow night. Have a great night, everybody.
This has been the Jack Del Rio Show. Join us again next Tuesday night at 6 for your chance to talk to the head coach. The Jack Del Rio Show is a presentation of the Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network.